Shall we understand a little bit about Revelation tonight?
Yes,
good. I absolutely love the book of Revelation. And I hope that you all do too. How many feel that, I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm asking an honest question. How many of you feel that Revelation is so big it's hard to get your hand around? Yeah or no? You guys all figured out Revelation? Man, I should sit down and you should teach me. Is it a big book?
It is.
It's a huge book. So what we're going to try to do today is try to understand the book in a general sense. Is that okay? All right. So the book of Revelation is one of my favorite for sure. Let us pray together and then we'll be able to go into the idea. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd please give me the ability to portray the beauties of the book of Revelation tonight. We want to hear what you have given as a revelation to your son that he gave and sent and signified it to an angel that gave it to John who wrote it, that we could read it and be blessed and keep and share those things. We ask that you would lead and guide us that we can understand and be transformed and blessed. These messages, Father, we ask that you would use to prepare us for being able to be witnesses in this world before the coming of your son. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's consider the book of Revelation. I have so many notes on this book. And I like, at the same time, instead of going through notes, I like to look at it from a big picture. When I started studying the book of Revelation, I realized right off the bat that I felt like I was seeing a forest. But I was in the midst of the forest. I was looking around and seeing all these very large trees, and I couldn't see past the trees. I knew they were there, but I knew it was a big forest, but it was like I was just seeing a few things around me. Well, pretty soon, I was able to gather a little bit more of the area around me and understand what was there. So I felt like I had a bigger picture. And then it was like I was seeing the trees, and then I could step back and see the forest. And then I'd come in and look at the trees again. And then I can step back and look at a really big picture of the forest. Pretty soon, you're seeing the details of the trees, and the trees are becoming more understood, and you can see more and understand more about what's going on there. But then you back up and you can see big, beautiful pictures or visions of the forest. And so that's how it's been over the years, and I have studied the book over the years. I have 31-hour presentations online going verse by verse through the book of Revelation. But you have to understand, I don't have them set as public right now because I would like to do them again with a non-Trinitarian understanding. See, the book of Revelation brought me from being a Trinitarian to helping me come to the point of understanding that God is not three. So the book of Revelation is powerful. It was life-changing to me when I went and got into it and started studying. I did not go to the Bible commentary. I did not go to YouTube or books of a new order. What I did is I went to the Bible and I found verses to explain the Bible. And I stayed there, I stayed there, I went there and I stayed there. And at times I would go and look at the writings of Ellen White as well. And I knew those writings well enough to see if this would fit or not. Like if I concluded that worship was on Sunday, I realized from my previous study that's probably not right. So I'd have to go and restudy, right? Okay. So now in chapter 1, verse 1, let's look at that real quick. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So this revelation was given to the Son by God. It says, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We know that his servants are the prophets according to Amos, right? Well, the one that had the gospel, which is Jesus, or the revelation, it says in verse 1 in the middle, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, so I know I've said this before, but it's really good to repeat. The gospel came from the Father to the Son, to the angel, to John, and then you get to read it. Right? Well, you not only get to read it, but you get to share it. So that's the way that God has sent this book, from him to his son, to the angel, to the prophet, to you. Now, where is the Holy Spirit in that mix? That is the Holy Spirit. Thank you. The Father sending his will and his word through his son, the only mediator between God and men, having sent the Spirit of his son through the ministration of the angels, they bring the revelations to us. You can read in Ellen White's writings and find out that there were angels teaching Martin Luther during the Great Reformation. You can learn also that in our early Adventist history, there were angels teaching William Miller. These people came to deep, very deep understandings of the Bible, having been ministered to by holy angels. So I think we need that same ministry. Amen? Well, it says there in verse 2, John, he bare record of the word of God. Now, he recorded it. How did he record it? He wrote it down. He bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. He saw very many things. You know, we are visual people these days. We like movies and pictures and lights and shining things, cars or cell phones. We like those things, right? Well, it's because we can see stuff and hear stuff. If you get into the book of Revelation and you start looking around and trying to see what John saw, wow, it becomes like a better than Hollywood movie. It's the theater of the mind that opens up, and the holy angels are able to tell you, no, that's not exactly what that was. Think of it this way. And you're like, wow, you know, I never thought about it that way, but whoa, it could be like this. And so God guides you through the impress of the Holy Spirit. Now, it says in verse 3, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, we need to know that there is a blessing on every single one of us that reads and hears and keeps these things. You know, you can find that there are 7 blessings in the book of Revelation. You search the word blessed, you'll find it 7 times. And you can see the 7 blessings through the book of Revelation. You can see that there are 7, like a 7-fold praise of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. There's 7 spirits, there's 7 thunders, 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7, 7, 7, 7. Why? Because God does things in sevens. And it really brings you back to the creation. You know, like, we keep Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as 1 week, right? The whole world does, right? Why? Because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the 7th day. There is no other reason in the universe. You can find why we have a day or a year or a month. You can find those in the solar bodies that rotate and move and spin and all those things in the universe. But you won't find the week. The sevens are all based on God's creative power. And what he does in this book is he creates in you a new heart and gives a right spirit to you. By the way, heart and spirit are the same thing. Heart and mind. Heart is mind. Okay? And the renew a right spirit within you, same thing. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Okay, so what we have is in this book, we have blessings for all of us who will read it. So I encourage you to receive the blessings. Take time to study the Revelation. You know, there have been times where I've read the entire book of Revelation just in my morning devotions. Why? Because you see the bigger picture of it just by absorbing it. And there have been times, probably hundreds of times, I've listened to this book audio. There was a time back when I was a missionary in the 1990s where I was able to almost quote the book verbatim because I had heard it so many times. This is what God wants us to have in our experience. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not like Jan Andrews. I wish I was to have the whole New Testament and most of the Old Testament memorized. I don't have that mind. But we can be so absorbed and connected with the Word of God, that it becomes part of our life. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, you have a picture of Jesus. Okay, let's read about it in verse 13. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in its strength. So there you have a picture of Jesus. What's interesting is the picture of Jesus in chapter 1 is followed by seven churches. So you have a picture of Jesus and seven churches. Okay? Now, turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5 says in verse 5 and 6. We're just going to use this because it's generally the picture of Jesus. But in chapter 5, there is a picture of Jesus. Notice what it says. One of the elders said unto me, "Don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of a throne, and in the four beasts," or of the four beasts, "and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." By the way, it's the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So what we have is Jesus Christ illustrated as a lion and as a lamb. It's a picture of Jesus in Revelation chapter 5. And what follows this picture of Jesus in Revelation chapter 5 is seven seals. So what you have is in chapter 1, a picture of Jesus followed by seven churches. In chapter 5, you have a picture of Jesus followed by seven seals. Now go to chapter 8. It says there in verse 3 through 5. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God out of the angel's hands. So, who is it that is here ministering the incense to the Father? It's an angel, right? But angels don't do the priestly ministry, the high priestly ministry. This is Christ. So what we have here is in verse 5, the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So in chapter 8, that's the picture of Jesus, which is followed by seven trumpets. Do you see a pattern here? Chapter 1, picture of Jesus, seven churches. Chapter 5, picture of Jesus, seven seals. Chapter 8, picture of Jesus, seven trumpets. So, you have a pattern in the first half of the book of Revelation. So, the first half of the book of Revelation is very simple. Jesus Christ, seven churches. Jesus Christ, seven seals. Jesus Christ, seven trumpets. Now, it's also very important to understand that there is a pattern as well within those sevens that I think you'll find interesting. There are six churches and then the seventh. Now what I mean is there's like an interlude somehow in between the sixth and the seventh churches. And the reason why is because we have a very evident lack of rebukes in the sixth church, Philadelphia. So God doesn't rebuke that church much or at all. And so you have rebukes and encouragement, rebukes and encouragement, rebukes and encouragement, and encouragement, and then rebukes and encouragement. You see how that is? So there are churches, an interlude, and then the seventh church. Well, that's in the churches. But if you go to the seals, you see that there are six seals, an interlude, and then the seventh seal. If you go to the trumpets, you find six trumpets, an interlude, and then the seventh trumpet. So you're seeing in the 777 of the church's seals and trumpets more of a pattern than just Christ and seven, Christ and seven, Christ and seven. What you see is Christ, six, interlude, seven. Christ, six, interlude, seven. Christ, six, interlude, seven. See how that works? And so now you're able to see the first half of the book of Revelation laid out in such a way that you can almost grab it and say, hey, that's the first half of the book of Revelation. It just comes in segments. And it's like three histories from the time Christ was on the earth until Christ comes a second time, three of those in a row. There's the way that you can look at it from the church. There's the way that you can look at it from the state. And there's the ways that you can look at it from the civil or the religious wars. So you have the three different ways of looking at history. But what's fascinating about that is Christ is illustrated before the first way of looking at history. Christ is illustrated before looking at the second way of history. Christ is illustrated before looking at the third vision or view of history. So who's the one ministering during all these times that history is going through? Christ. So God has illustrated the first half of the book of Revelation, all the history of the world, three times over. You can see that it's the first church that was blessed with the seven stars in the hand of Christ. Those stars were bright and shining. Matthew and Luke, or Luke wasn't one of them, but Matthew and who else? John and Barnabas and Judas, not Iscariot. You see, these are the stars that were in the hand of God. They came fresh from, or the hand of Christ, fresh from the 3.5 years of ministry that Christ had called them out of a Babylonian lifestyle into walking the newness of life. So those are the ones that he had in his hands, right? Well, then you follow the churches all the way through, and you see that there was during the Dark Ages, you had this Thyatira church that was like, you know, the woman and the false prophets and all these things. But toward the last church, Laodicea. Do you know what that means, Laodicea? What does it mean? It means people in judgment. Remember Little Horn Judgment Kingdom? People in judgment. So this Little Horn Judgment Kingdom thing fits in even to the book of Revelation with the churches, the way it's laid out. And so you have Christ at the beginning of the churches with the stars in his hands, and then it leads you to the time of judgment, which we know, according to the book of Daniel, is way at the end of time, right? So in the churches, you can see this history unfolding. And in the seals, by the way, look at chapter 6 again, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1. It says, because in chapter 5, it had talked about the lamb, right? The lamb that was a lion, or a lion that was a lamb. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder. Now, who opened one of the seals? The lamb. So Christ is the one opening the seals. What are the seals but time that is exposed? You have the first seal being a white horse, very similar to the stars that were in the hand. Bright and shining, you have this white, beautiful horse. And we know that there's a time that goes by that the horse was white, or there was an experience of a white horse. Let me say it that way. Then it says in verse 3, he, the lamb, opened the second seal. And there was this red horse. So there was a time where the horse was red, or an experience with a red horse. Then the lamb opens the next one, and there's time that goes by. There's a lamb that opens the next one. There's time that goes by. all the way to the point where in the sixth seal, what you see is when he opens the sixth seal, there are various things that have happened not too long in Earth's history, the 1700s, the 1800s, and we know, of course, with the darkening of the sun, the redding of the moon, the earthquake, the great falling of the stars. Remember these things? 1833 was the last one with the falling of the stars. We know that that's taken us to that point. And then it says in the sixth seal that the mountains were moved out of the place. The islands were sunk into the sea. We see that the heavens are rolled back as a scroll. What are we describing here? The coming of Christ. But it started with the experience of the disciples going out like Purity, the white horse, leading us through the dark and middle ages, and then it comes to the second coming. So the seals, you can see, was from the time of Christ to the second coming, just like the churches. Well, the trumpets are the same way. You can find them from the time of Christ up until the first time, up until the second coming of Christ. So you have this history illustrated in the first half of the book of Revelation, but it's very important to understand. The book of Revelation itself uses the word revelation one time. Did you know that? Only one time. And it uses it in chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a revelation of beasts. It's not a revelation of the dragon or the devil or the plagues that are coming. It's not a revelation of anything other than Jesus Christ. So when you're studying the book of Revelation, you must look for the one that's revealed. And he's all over the place. He's all over the book of Revelation. In fact, the book of Revelation is laid out chronologically as the sanctuary. And if you understand that in two different ways, I do, I understand it in two different ways. One of it is with the furniture, it's laid out in certain ways. For example, you have the candlesticks in chapter 1. Remember the seven branch candlesticks that the Lord was standing by? We read it earlier. Then you have the table of showbread or the throne in chapter 4 and 5. And that's two seated on the throne. We have in the sanctuary two stacks of bread seated on the table of showbread. Right? It's the bread of life, the bread of his presence. Yes, that's good. So then in chapter 8, you have the candlesticks. So far, we've gone through the sanctuary. We have the light, the throne or the table of showbread, and then you have the incense. Well, after that, in chapter 11, which is the end of the seventh trumpet, you see the Ark of the Testament. And who's between the wings of the Ark, not between, but above the wings of the Ark of the Testament? It's God the Father, right? And that's the Shekinah glory. That's the Ark. So we have there, so far, the various furniture in the holy and most holy place. Right there in the book of Revelation, in chronological order. And you even have Christ, after entering the sanctuary, you have him leaving the sanctuary. That's in chapter 15. So the book of Revelation, even with the furniture, is laid out in such a way that you can travel right through the sanctuary going chronologically through the book of Revelation. Isn't that fascinating? So the book of Revelation is all laid out in the sanctuary language. Here's another way to see the book of Revelation in the sanctuary, or kind of laid out in chronological order with the sanctuary. How many yearly festivals were there for the children of Israel? Seven. If you didn't know that number, you could probably just guess seven and you'd be right on. Because there's so many sevens in the book of Revelation, right? There are seven festivals laid out chronologically in the book of Revelation. In chapter 1, there are three of them. The death, burial, and resurrection is symbolized. You have the unleavened bread. You have the Passover, which started on the same night. And then you have also the wave sheaf. Okay? So those all three are in chapter 1. Now, it's followed by Pentecost, which is the fourth one, in chapter 5. We read it earlier. Notice what it says in verse 5. Or chapter 5, verse 6, sorry. Chapter 5, verse 6. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. What's the next two words? Sent forth into all the earth. Now, if you ever have read the last chapter of The Desire of Ages, you will see that Sister White is explaining what is happening in Revelation 4 and 5. It is the inauguration of the Son of God as the high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. And with that inauguration comes the anointing of the oil. In Psalm 133, which only has three verses, you can read that how lovely and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Remember that? It's like the oil that's poured upon the head of the high priest, or Aaron, which runs down his beard, down his garments, and past his feet to the, how does it say, like down below into the, like the Valley of Hermon or something like that. But basically what it's explaining is that the high priest was anointed for the purpose of ministering in the sanctuary. Christ in chapter 5, he was anointed as the high priest for the sanctuary in heaven. And that was the oil, the golden oil that came down his beard and down his garments and past his garments down to the waiting and praying saints at the time of Pentecost. And that was the holy oil or golden oil that was poured out of the holy angel messengers, just like we read before in what book was that? Testimonies to Ministers. The holy angels, by the way, were the ones that were ministering during the day of Pentecost. You can find it in the writings of Ellen White and clearly show it in the Bible as well. The angels visited God's people on the day of Pentecost. So that's chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. So far, we have Passover, unleavened bread, wave sheaf, and Pentecost. That's the first four yearly festivals in chronological order in the book of Revelation. Well, what festival, these are all, by the way, the spring festivals, what festival came as the first one of the fall festivals? Trumpets. What do you have after chapter 5? You have chapter 8. We just read about the trumpets. Well, we didn't read about the trumpets. We read Christ ministering. But if you read the verse before and after, you read that the holy angels had the trumpets, seven of them. And so Passover, unleavened bread, wave sheaf, Pentecost, trumpets. What comes next? The Day of Atonement, which at the end of chapter 11, if you want to read it, chapter 11, verse 19, it says that the holy place was seen. The most holy place. Notice what it says in verse 19. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there was lightning and voices, etc. But what we've seen there is the ark of God was opened, or rather the temple of God was opened, and you can see the ark. Where was the ark? In the most holy place. And so this is the Day of Atonement. So far you have Passover, unleavened bread, wave sheaf, Pentecost, the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and what's the last one? The Feast of Tabernacles. Go to Revelation 21. It says in Revelation 21, verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the what? Tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. You know, the word dwell is very similar to the word tabernacle. So really, you could say the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will tabernacle with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So you have seen already the first half of the book of Revelation. Christ, seven churches. Christ, seven seals. Christ, seven trumpets, right? You've also seen how the furniture is laid out in chronological order. There is the candlesticks. There's the table of showbread, or the altar, the throne. Then there's the incense of chapter 8. And then you have the Shekinah glory and the ark, which is in chapter 11. And then Christ leaving the sanctuary in chapter 15. So you have Christ walking through the sanctuary, you see? And then you've also seen the book of Revelation laid out with the sanctuary in that it has the seven yearly festivals in chronological order laid out just like that. Now, when you get to the center of the book of Revelation, you're going to see in chapter 12, there is a dragon. In chapter 13, there is a beast coming up out of the earth. Out of the sea. And then the second half of the book of Revelation 13 is a beast coming up out of the earth, which we call the false prophet. So in the center of the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and 13, you could say, and 14 really, you have a dragon, a beast, and the false prophet. You guys are familiar with that, right? Okay, do you know that the dragon of chapter 12 personates God the Father? The beast of chapter 13, the first one, personates the Son. And the false prophet of chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, personates the Spirit. So really what you have in the book of Revelation, right in the center of it, is a false father, a false son, and a false spirit. And where did it come from? The dragon started from Rome. At the end of time, that's what you have. You have Rome giving us a false god. So now, at the end of chapter 12, it's very interesting because you know this verse. The dragon, that's Roman, the Roman power. The dragon, which is also Satan, because it says there in Revelation 7 12, verses 7 through 9, it was Satan having war with Michael, remember? The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. What does she do that makes him so angry? She keeps the commandments of who? God the Father, and has the testimony of who? Jesus Christ the Son. And so this small group of people that is the remnant of her seed have the truth of the Father and his Son in Revelation 12, 17. You have the same thing in Revelation 14, verse 12, which says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of his Son, Jesus Christ. So you have the Father and the Son in these two end time verses. And I'll tell you, I never saw that until I understood the Father and the Son. I just read it and never understood it. But when I understood who the Father and the Son are, all of a sudden those verses jumped out at me like, hey, at the end of time, guess what the faith of the remnant is? They have faith in the Father and the Son. This is life eternal. I'm like, amen. You see, so these are end time things that we're talking about, the truth of the Father and the Son. And so what you have there at the end of Revelation 12 is this group that will challenge the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They will not only challenge the actual Rome and pagan Rome and America come together with the apostate Protestants, we will challenge the doctrines as well. There is a Father, there is a Son. We have the commandments of God and the testimony of his Son. We have the commandments of God and the faith of his Son. Amen? Now, we can see in the rest of Revelation chapters really 15 or 16 through the end, you see kind of like a chronological progression, okay? So chapter 16 is the very end of time with these plagues. And 17 is telling you who it is that's going to be in the plagues. It's a woman that rides upon the waters and upon the beast. And they're going to be internally struggling one with another because the kings will turn against the woman and eat her flesh. Eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You know, I find that interesting in Revelation 17 where it says that they will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Wouldn't it make sense if they would burn her with fire and then eat her flesh? They're actually eating her raw, and then they will burn her flesh. This is graphic, really serious stuff. Anyways, this is the group that's going to be in the final plagues. Well, why is that group going to be in the final plagues? Because chapter 18 explains that they are a cage of unclean and hateful birds. And it describes the destruction and the falling of that system. Chapter 19, at the beginning, describes where God is saying, well, the holy angels are saying to God, "You are worthy to receive honor and praise because you have done this." They were worthy to receive those plagues that they've received. And then it explains that after they receive those plagues, toward the end of 19, Christ is pictured as seated on a white horse, and he's coming. You see, there's the plagues, and who's in the plagues, the destruction of that system. There's the praise in heaven, the coming of Christ. These things are somewhat chronological. And at the end of chapter 19, going into 20, we see that there's the destruction of the beast and the false prophet. Well, then in 20, we see the millennium comes in, because the coming of Christ is in 19, followed by the millennium, or the 1,000 years. I'll call it the 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years in 21, as we just read, there's the coming of the city down from God out of heaven, and that's where God tabernacles with us. The city is described in the rest of 21. And then in chapter 22, you see the saints able to be in the Garden of Eden again, and they're able to eat from the tree of life and live with God, his Son, and the holy angels throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. So the book of Revelation is all about Christ and history through the churches, Christ and history through the seals, Christ and history through the trumpets. There's the middle of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And then in chapter 14, it's really the gospel that goes to the world of the three angels. In chapter 16, it's interesting because you have three demons coming out of the mouth of the prophet, or the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So you have three angels, and you have three demons. And they're warned, because you know, these are spirits, and these are spirits as well. These are holy angels, these are evil angels. These are holy spirits, these are evil spirits. The angels are called by Ellen White one time, pure and holy spirits. You never knew that, did you? Well, the Bible calls them spirits as well, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And in Matthew, it calls them holy angels. If angels are holy and angels are holy spirits. Okay? So now it's very... Did that confuse somebody over here, or you said amen? Okay. I thought you were saying, wait a minute, what's going on? Because I'll help you put that in. I'm not saying that the angels are the Holy Spirit. No. But they are holy spirits. You must understand. They are agents in the agency of the Holy Spirit. So I think the book of Revelation is beautiful. It illustrates what Christ is doing and what the Father is doing seated upon his throne, looking over all the vast history of this world and ordering things according to his will. By the way, when you read that paragraph, I don't even remember where that one is, but you can read about the angels as well. Angels are everywhere. Anyways, does anybody have questions about the book of Revelation? Do you have something maybe that I've sparked in your mind? How does this fit in? How does it work? If not, then I believe that we'll just consider that God has revealed to you what I think is a beautiful big picture of the book of Revelation. I'm hoping now you'll go and study it for yourselves. And you'll be able to say, wow, I see how it fits in. There's the first half, there's the middle section, there's the end, how it goes kind of like chronologically. So now you feel like you've got the book of Revelation. You can see the forest now, not just the trees. And so do your study, and may Revelation 1 verse 3 come to pass in your life. Blessed are they that read the words of this prophecy and hear these things that are written and keep those things, because the time is at hand. And Jesus Christ is coming soon. Will you surrender yourself one more time to the Word of God tonight? Will you say, Father, take me, use me, guide me, and bless me so I can be a blessing to others?
Yes.
Amen. Me too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you would please fulfill the request that was made, that you would fill our lives with your holy word, that we'd be able to understand and to disseminate these words to others. We pray that you would guide us and use us and lead us, that we can be a blessing so that others can be prepared for the coming of your Son. We know chapter 19 in the book of Revelation describes the coming of your Son. It will be glorious. We look forward to seeing it. But we know from now until that time, it's going to be difficult. And I ask that you would make us faithful, keep us faithful, and may we be with that group that is called, chosen, and faithful, as it says in Revelation 17. Be with us as we're preparing for sleep tonight. Keep us all healthy and prepare us in our own study as we study the book of Revelation for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.